Hello, friends and folks, and welcome back to the Hunter's Quorum. We are continuing to peruse this nice catalog we've got here of critters and creatures, and beasties and beasties? Bats. Are there any bats? There must be bats.
Probably. There are bats.
Manofsky? Okay. I'm Six Detmar from Scanline Media.
I'm Alan Ibrahim from Chats and Scanline Media.
And I'm Manofsky Article, reoccurring guest on this very podcast.
I mean, you're allowed to call yourself from Scanline Media if you want to at this point.
Sure, yeah. Technically, I have been grandfathered in to the Scanline Media system.
Yeah, we love taking over people's lives. So, we are in the middle, and by the middle, I mean kind of just the very beginning of Monster Hunter World as far as creatures at the moment. But we missed some stuff, and we got to do a little bit of cleanup. One of them we were aware of, and the other one, it was just I had this shaking suspicion, or sneaking suspicion. You don't have a shaking... What the fuck is
you
a can. Shaking
you
suspicion?
You have a shaking suspicion.
It's a suspicion that makes you vibrate? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Got those res controllers. So we're going to start off with a Gen 2 friend, the King Shakalaka from Monster Hunter 2.
NBA Jam.
King Shakalaka Laka.
That wasn't bad.
Not bad at all. Oh my god, what is this? No, I promised I wouldn't look at the design until we started because I did not realize this was a real monster. And. Huh?
So King Shakalaka, this is also another monster I have not fought before because this is from Generation 2. Mm-hmm. But it is kind of unusual, and that King Shakalaka does not have its own quests. It does not. It's just a rare thing. Well, that can be encountered if you bother too many Shakalakas. And Shakalakas. Okay, where did so they are. They're kind of weird humanoid, possibly cat things that you can encounter. They still exist in world.
They're classified as Linians, so I guess they're. Yeah, okay, so they might be monkey people, which would make their garb pretty offensive.
I don't know enough about Shakalakas to say one way or the other.
It was the 2000s.
It was.
And there was time for clacks. Yeah, so if you mess with a lot of those little guys, you get this also little guy, but... You know,
you mess with the bull, you get the horns. You
mess with the bull, you get a different bull.
This is like if you hit the chickens in Zelda a lot, you get the big chicken, and you get killed by a million chickens.
Yep, pretty much exactly what it is. And you can encounter Shakalakas in world; they are hidden about. But to my knowledge, there is not a King Shakalaka that is remarkably different in that game.
Now, don't tell me that this thing has equipment.
It has, like, a few weapons, I think, but nothing that impressive.
Okay. It's not a full King Shakalaka armor set.
I feel like it's understandable that we missed this one.
Yep. Yep. There's another one you missed that I think is going to be a very similar story when we get to it.
Okay. Yeah, no, there you can get a few weapons, as Manofsky mentioned. No armor set. I do think the armor actually kind of, or the weapons kind of reveal that this is supposed to be a cat underneath, because there's some cat theming going on.
Yes. Well, and
like
yeah, there's, yeah, there was a special Halloween event I think some of these weapons were tied to, so.
Yeah. I see.
Oh, 2011, Halloween 2011, you can see the promotion for the Halloween event. Interesting. Yeah, I like a Halloween themed thing.
Yeah.
It's not a Halloween monster. It's just a rare monster that you can get by doing specific actions. But this is cool, and I think it's interesting that it's classified as a major monster, even though it's not, really.
And for this to be a Monster Hunter 2 thing, too, you can kind of see the attempt between this and another we're going to get to, which are, you know, they were still kind of figuring out how to work all the monster systems. And so having this mid-tier thing that's not technically in quests but could show up in the middle of a fight was another such experiment that they didn't really stick with beyond 2.
He's in Freedom Unite, though.
He is in Freedom Unite. That's true.
That's it.
He's one of the drones.
If there, anything, I basically. Wish that they did more medium. Like, I wish not every monster was a big boy. Like, a huge epic boss fight. I know that that's kind of the point, but, like, I enjoyed there being a medium tier of monster between fodder and bosses.
Oh, yeah, and that would definitely be something that they could explore further, mm-hmm. you know, with whatever's coming next, I think. I would like to see that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at some footage here, and it looks like he does just summon friends and stuff, and that's kind of interesting. It's, you know, it was a PSP game, so you kind of have the, let's call it the, like, Kingdom Hearts Birth by Sleep problem, right? Of the empty room where they're saying there are so many people in the way. It's not exactly a crowd, but I could see this being a really cool fight where it's like there's this little guy who's not that tough, but he just has tons of friends.
Yeah.
That's me.
IRL. Just a little guy. Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm down to keep this guy. I think there's a lot of potential here.
Okay, fair.
There is room for more like the Shakalaka.
I don't think the equipment's particularly inspired, though.
No. And well, and also, you know, we just don't have photos of much of it via this wiki that we're using either, so.
Uh-huh.
True, yeah. True.
I like the poison sword or whatever. Is that a sword? Like the witch's hat for the hilt and then like the blood, like mm-hmm. poison. Looks like a mid-tier MMO weapon. I know we say that every single time we see anything cool, but it does. Yeah,
it appears to be a great sword, which like, okay, here's the thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just, as a person who plays longsword, could we rename the longsword? Can we call it like the cool sword or something? I just feel like calling the sword great is like really biased.
It's like David and defensive. The cooler David. Like, wow, fucking
yeah,
good, I guess.
Exactly.
I don't know. I've been playing with my friend Craspants for the last couple months, getting them into the series, and Great Sword is what did it. So I don't know. It's a pretty great sword if it can get somebody to play these games. And
I mean, yeah, you know, it's we're happy for Crass. Crass is cool, and we're glad to have Crass in the series, but also is a soul player.
which means being a great sword main, yes.
It really, yeah, it's pretty one-to-one, yes. If they did a crossover where you could get, like, a wire bug bandit bringer, Crass would never play anything else.
I agree.
But all right, well, this... Yeah, let's move on to our next one, because we have the Tigrex, or Tigrex.
Ah, yes. I am a huge Tigrex fan.
I feel like we should say Tigrex. I don't. That could just be factually wrong, but it's like tiger because it has sort of like tiger stripes.
Yeah, where did we get Tigrex?
That's just the way I've heard it often pronounced. But I think you could go either way. I don't know officially. I've just always gone Tigrex because I think that's what I've heard as far as like hearing Japanese players pronounce it.
I mean, that is how it would be pronounced from the Japanese, but you know.
But yeah, it is a tiger striped. Monster. So the tiger root is there no matter what you viewers say. But yeah, either way, very cool and unique monster and a flagship monster of its time.
Yeah, which makes it pretty surprising that we missed it.
The Tigrex represents a lot of the things that I like about Monster Hunter monsters. It feels like it could exist in some version of the real world, and yet it's also very alien and creepy that it's like a T-Rex head with a like nimble body and then these winged front hands, like a
yes.
really interesting chimera situation.
And it's got these wings that don't really fly either, but like yeah. so you can kind of tell like it's on like some area of its evolutionary path where it's probably going to lose them, but for now they're there. Something I love about a few things I love about Tigrex are. One, that it was one of the first monsters that really made me think about, like, the ecology of Monster Hunter monsters, because it's, especially when it first appeared, it was known for being able to appear in any, on any of the maps, because it is so desperately hungry that it's constantly chasing prey wherever it can find it, so it'll just wander into any biome, just looking for something. And I think that sort of desperation and need to feed itself constantly. It shows in a lot of its animations as well, because while it's fighting you, it kind of does this sort of desperate scrambling around.
Yeah.
Like it just needs to get you in its jaws no matter what. And it's so just, I love that scrambling. I love that kind of out of control, just pure instinct way that it approaches.
I, for a while in Rise, my feeling on it was like, this is a like fight that I like appreciate thematically, but find really annoying. Mm-hmm. Right. And then I learned to start implementing the counter from the longsword into my toolkit. And I was like, oh, actually, this fight is really fun, because yes. The problem was I didn't get to play.
Right. Mm-hmm. He hits you fast.
Yeah, but if you got counters, I mean, this boy is just always on the offensive. He is a rushdown monster.
Absolutely.
I think I fought it recently in Rise, in my playthrough, and I have such a vivid memory of the spin maneuver that you're talking about, Manofsky. The, like, sees you, turns around, whips the tail, and then comes right back at you in a different direction. Like, just so quick and nimble, despite being a really big dude.
Also, thinking about it in the history of Monster Hunter, when Tigrex first appears... back then, and even still, a lot of the monsters would kind of do these, like, 90-degree turns to reposition themselves. So, like, you mm-hmm. know, if you were behind a monster, it would do, like, you know, 15 minutes on a clock, and then it would do the next 15 minutes. Tigrex didn't do that. It would just instantly spin and rush you, which made it a lot more ferocious and terrifying. And it's a monster a lot of other monsters have taken after since.
Yeah.
It didn't give you, like, that recovery time, or it wasn't as predictable, or at least in the way that they traditionally were.
Yeah, because as you're saying, like, a lot of monsters that have these rushing attacks have this, like, animation where they're, like, accounting for their momentum and, like, slowing themselves down and then managing to pivot. Mm-hmm. But the Tigrex, partially because it has those, like, those front, you know, foreleg wings, it is so firmly connected to the ground that it has the grip to just turn on a dime.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I also love that it's one of the few monsters that's roar will send you flying. Its roar is so loud that if you're right next to it, it'll make you fly into the air or do damage.
Oh, it's kind of fun.
Yeah. We have a lot of variants, too.
Yes.
We have, let's get it out of the way. We got the Unit 02 Tigrex.
Yeah! Wait for it.
Eva Tigrex.
Okay. This isn't the best Eva one that I've seen, but...
I mean, if you pull up the full image, it might be the best one, to be honest.
Yeah, I do love the roaring face.
It's got the roaring face with the two eyes. It has the, like, the Eva mask popped up. Mm-hmm. Like as like a nose crest, and then it has all the like the suppressors popped out on the back.
Also,
very cool.
Also, the flat teeth up top look really disturbing in that context.
Yeah. They do look upsetting.
Oh
yeah,
God, the pair of eyes. God bless the people who did record video of this fight and a lot of other fights in Monster Hunter Explorer, because you can't play that game anymore. Mm-hmm. It looks great in the game. The red really pops, and I'm mostly biased because. Unit 2 is my favorite Eva unit, so I want this one to be good, but I'd say it mostly lives up to it. It also, absolutely. Ooh, it vents steam when it's about to charge and roar you. That's pretty good.
Nice. Let's see, what other variants we got that are exciting? Brute, I think Brute's just, you know.
Brute's a souped up one. Molten Tigrex is a popular one. It is a red Tigrex that's even more... overheated and scrambly and does blast damage.
Ooh, Molten looks gross.
Yeah.
Molten look gross.
Molten's wings look like they're bone popping out. That's very creepy.
This is one of the ones I wonder, with Lucent Nargacuga coming back, I've seen a lot of people asking for Molten Tigrex to come back as well. Mm-hmm. So I think this one has a good shot.
Flame Tigrex is when you get a skin in Call of Duty with flames on it.
That's right.
That's what that is. Grimclaw, same thing, but it's a lightning skin.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Grimclaw is the deviant version, so it's one of the most powerful Tigrexes.
I dig.
Now, Zenith Tigrex is cool.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
I like all those extra little spikes and protrusions.
Yeah, it has evolved to be, you know, it's still got some of the wings, but even then that area is starting to be repurposed into like barbed wire lined along the arms. So it's
repurposed into what?
Barbed wire
on
the arms.
No, it's
oh, is this a
Alan wants me to say barbed wire.
Thank you.
Okay.
Rainbow Six Siege.
It is a specific Rainbow Six Siege reference. Yes. He is Scandinavian and thus has a amusing accent.
Okay.
So he says barbed wire in a funny way.
Essex, if you like monsters that get progressively spikier, may I introduce you to Digimon?
I mean, you already have, and I didn't like it very much.
Wildly failed both times I've tried. Someday.
What the hell is going on with Sweet Tooth?
That's us.
T-Grex.
That's Six and Alan sitting on the side of the T-Grex's tail.
It's like a mean old T-Grex, but has two
friends.
Plushy buddies?
I don't think I've ever seen Sweet Tooth T-Grex. Oh, it's a Sanrio collaboration.
Sanrio thing, yeah.
Okay, sure. That's what? That's great.
It's from
I love that they're in the icon.
Yes. Yeah. There was a period too where like there was quite a number of Sanrio collabs, so you can still buy like official Monster Hunter Sanrio merch on eBay. Like there was a whole line of like Gudetama versions of monsters and stuff.
That's so good.
So yeah, I had never seen this one before. Yeah, it is a subspecies from Explore to help the Sanrio collabs.
Well, I've got great news for us.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Unlike some other creatures, we got lots to look at in terms of equipment.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I'm a big fan of the T-Grex equipment. It always looks like it's coming from T-Grex. There's never a question of what monster it is. There's never... Yeah. I love the greatsword just being a chunk of its jaw.
Hold on, greatsword.
It is...
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if I love or kind of am side-eyeing the fact that the light bowgun is a tiger-striped Tiger II tank from World War II.
That's right.
A little on the nose.
With the hatch open, that's fucking hilarious. The heavy bowgun is just the mouth with a gun shoved into it. God, the bowgun designs are always on point. Wow.
That's from before World. After World, they're like, wait, no, we have to be serious about this. You don't.
Well, they'll get silly again after World, but yeah, World.
Oh, yeah, okay. This is Frontier G, and God, there's
Although
so
I will
much.
Point out that World Iceborne's dual blades are chainsaws.
I mean, listen, anything to bring the you know, .hack GU vibes, I am here for.
I love .hack GU.
But along with all these weapons, there's also lots of great different armor sets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very, very fortunately, a lot of variant armor has been pulled in here, too. So we get some good views of this.
Mm-hmm. I love asymmetrical armor. I say this a lot. The gunner from Freedom Unite having one big shoulder, that's fantastic.
Very good.
I will say they do feel like it does feel like they mostly like they do variants, but they pretty much know what they want T-Grex armor to look like, and
yes,
they stick to that theme pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just one of the classic iconic Monster Hunter armors. It always looks good.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of the T-Grex X armor.
Yeah.
Because and this is the one that they pull for Master Rank T-Grex and Sunbreak. And I love like the cape it's got. And it kind of looks like the male armor almost looks like a Shredder from Ninja Girls, kind of crossed with T-Grex. Yep. It's awesome.
Or like a Garland from Final Fantasy kind of thing.
Also Garland, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really overall, I'm a big fan of T-Grex and... One of my old orange cat with stripes, his nickname is T-Grex because he tries to steal people food every time you're eating. So he has the desperately hungry scramble of T-Grex, and it made him even more endearing to me.
I don't know if this reference... Go ahead, Six, while I Google.
I was just going to say, I think this is the winner.
Absolutely. No, this is a keep all the way.
I can't find it right now. Okay, so the joke I was trying to make was that the T-Grex Alpha Plus armor in World kind of looks like you're cosplaying a T-Grex armor. Like, it just looks a little bit busted with the build of the character. It's very like burly and not as spiky. And it reminds me of an old Sega game. It's one of the Hydlide games, the one that's behind the back. Did either of you ever play the Hydlide games?
Yes. I have no idea what you're talking about. Oh, you're saying words? I'm convinced you must be saying words.
I thought it might be Virtual Hydlide. Hold on. If I can
find
the image. Hydlide? H-Y-D-L-I-D. Yes, yes, yes. Here it is. Okay. Hold on. Posting image. Posting image in voice chat. Here it is. Boom. That's what your character looks like in Virtual Hydlide. It's like clearly just a dude with armor on. And that's what it looks like when you're in the T-Grex armor in Monster Hunter World. I brought it home. You need to watch a playthrough of this game at some, or that speedrun, because he also animates at like 2 frames per second.
This is any game that's Kindred of Kingsfield is Kindred of Mine.
Yeah, it is definitely Kindred of Kingsfield. Kindred of Kingsfield has to be the next Kingsfield game name. Impossible to say, but that's part of the appeal. Yeah, we can't not get this here, because that's a freaking gem of a monster.
I also like that a lot of its skills, at least early on, are always for things like speed eating. So it gets like skills to like eat recovery items faster, so that you're not stuck in the animations. Or you know, sometimes you'll get earplugs, or you'll get something that like when you eat an item, it spreads the wide range, spreads it to other partners on the field, even if they haven't eaten. So it's got like a lot of food based skills initially.
Is that what load up is?
Load up, I think, has something to do with the guns.
Oh, okay. I like the eating, the widespread eating thing. That's pretty fun.
Yeah, speed eating is just what more could you want from a T-Grex?
What is going on in the gallery at the bottom of the wiki? What is that armor? This 1 of 9 picture that looks like nothing from anything. Is that from Stories?
That's the Kishin armor from Frontier G. I believe it is an armor set that's made of multiple monsters,
including a T-Rex.
Okay. We've bumped into it before, you know.
Fair enough.
Been a while. Our very next one is the Vespoid Queen, which I think this is the one you were hinting at.
Yes, there's even less to say about this one. It is just, if you were around a lot of Vespoids, sometimes their queen would be there. So yeah, it was a very limited little fight with a slightly larger Vespoid. It sprayed acid, that was the big difference, and there are still Vespoid Queen pieces of weaponry, but there's no longer Vespoid Queens in the game.
Right.
Hmm.
Yeah, it doesn't even have an equipment page, but I believe there's equipment that uses its parts.
Yeah, here it is. In order to prompt a Vespoid Queen to appear for battle, a hunter must kill 25 Vespoids. Again, it's the cuckoo thing of you bully too many Vespoids, their queen shows up and tries to wreck your day a little bit.
That's valid. You should probably do that. Seems like a good thing to do.
I like the Rainbow Wings effect.
Yeah, and that is an effect that's been kept for a lot of the weaponry, too. I know the Hunting Horn has some stained glass-type features because, you know, it's made of the Vespoid Queen.
Do you have an image with any of the weaponry?
I unfortunately do not, and neither does this equipment gallery.
Okay. Vespoid Queen armor. Because spoiler alert, I am running to cut this guy. Oh, hold on. What's going on?
You gotta show us.
I guess I'll show you. If this is Vespoid Queen armor, then we're in business, y'all.
I don't think that's...
That is the Vespoid Queen hunting horn.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I see. If you on the page that I'm on, it's all weapons.
Yeah, I wonder if this is a situation where they're using a different Vespoid armor with it, because they're like, oh, we've got to have her wearing something. Let's have her wearing something that matches.
Unfortunately, this is not one I fought, so I cannot verify its equipment status.
Just go to the bottom of that page, you can see some Vespoid armor from World, which looks pretty bad. Not bad, just like kind of boring.
It's very bug-like.
Yeah, it is buggy, but I would want it to be even more bug-like. Like, that's the female head on this is pretty good, and the shoulders are carapace-like.
The only image in the slideshow is more what you're looking for.
Yes, but I don't know if that's... But,
yeah, I don't know if that is.
I will say, I actually like the female helmet on this one because it is a bug's mandibles.
Yeah.
Reaching around the face. So that's neat.
I wouldn't wear that. I simply wouldn't wear that if I was a monster hunter.
No.
Creeps me out. I don't want head armor that is the head of the thing.
But the hunting horn is pretty. As a hunting horn main, I will say that it is a pretty hunting horn, but not one I use often.
Agreed. It's colorful.
I think it's a cut overall, honestly.
I agree. I have no love lost for this. So,
no.
Let's move on to the last cleanup one I'm aware of.
Yeah. It's the Bareoth.
Yeah.
Because we did the Bareoth, but not the Bareoth.
Correct. And they're very different monsters, despite similarities in names. But yeah, this one is a saber-toothed tiger wyvern.
Tiger wyvern. Oh, cool! This is another Chimera sort of thing. Dragon Sabertooth. Okay.
And it's pretty similar to Nargacuga as a fight, but has it, it? I feel like it moves around a lot more.
Mm-hmm. I just like the big. I like the big, goofy fangs. They're just fun.
The big goofy fangs, and also this is one of the monsters I feel the most bad for in a fight when you start breaking parts because you can break both of those fangs and just seeing like. The stumps of its teeth. It's kind of upsetting.
Wow. Brutal.
I don't want to see a fanged creature fly at me, though. That really scares me. In the video, on the trailer, it's like flying into the hunter.
Yeah, and unlike Tigrex, it does use its wings a lot more. It likes to do a move where it flies up in the air and then spits a ice tornado at you.
Yep.
You can fight these in Rise still. They're still there. They've been pretty popular, and they are a frequent, reoccurring monster.
I like it.
I like the line. Yeah. I feel like I like what I'm seeing, but I need something to hook me.
Mm-hmm. It's teeth.
Oh, okay. All right, fair enough. Well, I'm looking at equipment, and that ain't it. So far, I mean, it's not bad. It's just it feels fairly unremarkable.
I like the blades look like the teeth. They're the same amber color as the teeth.
Yeah, a lot of stuff looks like the teeth, though. A lot of monsters like blades look like their teeth. But I do like you turn tusks. Literally, the thing that it's known for is its tusks, and you make those into weapons. Like that's fun.
Like that. Like even the hammer has like a tusk at the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
Two tusks at the end of it.
The light bowgun blizzard gust, that's like an ice bowgun. That's kind of nice.
Mm-hmm.
Its insect glaive is called Fenrir Rose. It's just always a great name.
I also like that the armor has a huge bushy wig.
Turns out we're totally keeping this armor.
Oh, hell yeah.
I had to look for a better image of this. I'll post it in our voice chat here. This is the Frostfang Alpha Plus. It is one of my favorite armors. This looks so fucking cool.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. So yeah, let's talk about Frostfang then, because that is the more deadly variant.
Yeah, I see.
Frostfang variant.
Yep. That is a great armor for both male and female armors. Like, one with full face coverage for both.
Of the Bareoth armor is great. I just for the Bareoth, the plain one, the female head is so cool. Who needs a hairstyle when your armor is your hairstyle?
Yes.
That's good.
So the frosty Bareoth.
Yeah, Frostfang is an even cooler one and much harder to fight.
Is that from Iceborne?
It is an Iceborne. You can fight it there. I think it might have had some other appearances as well. It was first introduced in Iceborne. There it goes.
Looks pretty majestic. I like the way it still looks mean, of course, but like the white scales with white fur and then like grayish white spikes. It's got a very, pale silvery aesthetic that I think looks really, pretty.
And it's supposed to be like an older Beria that has like matured further and is like covered in, like has survived more frosts, so it's clung to ice and...
Sure.
Yeah.
That makes sense. What a winner.
Most of the quote-unquote variants are Nargacugas.
Well, they're considered cousin species. They have the same skeleton. They fight pretty similarly with different gimmicks. But I think Baryoth is pretty cool. I like Nargacuga better personally, but Baryoth. Ooh, look is at especially the, Frostfang.
Look at the frozen Baryoth from Explorer. That leans even further into what we like about the Frostfang. Oh man, I love these variants. God.
There needs to be a lot more. Like, just keep these variants coming.
Please. You don't have to make a new skeleton. Just make a weird variant. They look great. Mm-hmm. The purple, the blue fangs, amazing.
Yeah, looks great.
So where are we sitting on this one with the Baryoth?
I'm here for it all around.
Yeah.
I'm convinced. This is an instance where I think, honestly, I would have been much more on the fence, but its variants really pulled it through.
Exactly. Yeah, it even has a similar skeleton to, like, the T-Grex, actually. But I think the variants and the different ways that they use the ice theming really put it over the edge for moi.
All right, that's a keep.
Big fan.
Yeah. And with that, we get to go back to Monster Hunter World as we are checking out the Great Gyros.
Yes. So this is another resident of the Rotten Vale, which is the world that it's the section of world. It's one of my favorite maps in World, honestly.
It's really cool.
Yeah, it's just a pit where all like monsters go to die. Like it is just a festering maze of flesh and, you know, stinking meat and stuff. It's very
cool. Los Angeles.
Shut the fuck up, you worm.
I just wanted to antagonize you. You can put any city name there and that joke still works. That's a freebie.
I guess that's true.
But yeah, this is the easiest monster to fight in the Rotten Vale. It has like a very kind of Komodo dragon type feel about it. And its main attack is a paralyzing bite. It has also it's got the Cobra crest going on, but it walks around on all fours. It paralyzes you with its bite, and it usually leads a pack of smaller Gyros at you the way a lot of the great type monsters do.
I love that it notes here that it will pick fights with the Odogaron and instantly get owned.
Yes! Yes, the biology book specifically mentions, too, that they see the great Gyros as more of a scavenger. It is there to just feed on what it can find. It will sometimes pick fights it should not. And then...
That said, the armor is surprisingly good.
Let's talk about the armor. Really? Yeah, I'm a big fan of the armor, especially knowing what stage is from. Whoa. I like that both armors kind of have like the male armor has like a plague doctor face, but kind of a Lemmy from Motorhead hat.
yeah.
Yep, and then the female armor also has goggles and like a rebreather. So they both feature this idea that these are like the early armors you can go to venture into this pit that's probably extremely toxic due to all the decay.
Oh, that's like there's lore reason for it looking like that.
Yes.
But then once you're master rank, you are used to the smell now, and you either are Ezio or you are some sort of bondage cowgirl.
Correct.
Bondage cowgirl is my Discord username.
To be clear, that's bondage cowgirl parentheses complimentary.
Yeah, right, not derogatory.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the higher rank armors myself. But yeah, the plague doctor rock and roll cowboy is a perfect one if you're doing hunting horn, and it also has some hunting horn effects. It has horn maestro on it, so it was good for that purpose.
is this in Rise?
It is not. No, it isn't. No, this is just World, in base world. Yep.
Yeah. I assume the master rank version is Iceborne, in which case, World has the better armor.
Mm-hmm.
But The weapons are also, like, they're mostly not that, like, stunning, but they're just, like, simple concepts pretty well executed, I think.
Yeah. And, I mean, and that really is a thing that you can get into with world equipment, is that the big criticism of world is just that they didn't get weird enough. They kind of stuck to their guns, so a lot of the equipment can end up looking kind of samey with just little touches of the monster. But I think as far as, you know, effectively making some of these things look like they come from a Gyros, they manage.
Yeah. These look like they came from a Gyros. But, like, that greatsword is one of the most basic... Well, okay, it's got a little bit of the, like, orange accent or whatever. Mm-hmm. Otherwise...
It's got the mouth, like, curling around it.
Yes, otherwise one of the more generic greatswords that I've ever seen.
Sure, sure. They definitely stretched the skin over the same greatsword model they used for several other monsters.
Yeah. Yep.
I want to keep it for the armor. But
then it turns into this guillotine thing.
The armor is really good.
Oh. Yeah, yeah.
Can we just say keep armor? Can we write that?
We can, yeah, well, I mean, we have two slots for a reason. We can keep armor but cut the monster. Or are you saying, like, keep armor but not weapons?
Definitely keep armor but not weapons, but also I didn't really have a say in the monster yet. I think it's kind of like a lizard that... Go ahead.
It's a fine monster to introduce you to a new map. That's really true. What it's for.
That's a good point. They don't all have to be stunners because some of them are build up to other monsters. It does look alien in a way that you're like, oh, what the hell? It's like this long body that extends into a snake-like giant mouth with fangs. Like, that's kind of cool.
And its mouth can stretch.
And I like
the
way the hood pops up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the way the hood can pop up.
Mm-hmm. It
gives that the good vibes. All right, I think I'm here for the Gyros enough to let it fly.
But we have to move on now to the greatest of the greats, in my opinion.
Hmm.
The Great Jagras.
The Great Jagras is
that's a friend. That's Kermit the Frog.
I love Great Jagras, especially as like the first monster you fight in a game, because it does a few things that other greats in earlier games don't do. One of my problems with a lot of the great monsters is, although I love like a raptor design, they're not very easy to fight in multiplayer all the time, as far as like not tripping over each other. Whereas Great Jagras, by having four legs, being a little bit larger, it's the perfect practice dummy for everybody to beat up on without missing too much.
He also has some fun gimmicks too.
Yes.
Right? Like he swallows stuff whole, so he gets the big, like, swollen belly, but then if you beat the crap out of him while his belly's swollen, he'll spit it back out.
Yep.
And that's fun.
Okay. Yeah, and that also prepares you a little more for like later on what Monster Hunter is, which is like, here's some odd gimmicks. Here's some of these monsters might transform in some way or take a different appearance. So yeah, I think it's a great starter monster, and I very, very much remember first booting up World and then going onto the map and just seeing Great Jagras appear and just swallow a monster whole and get larger.
Yeah.
This also has a variant that you can't fight anymore because it was very brief, which was the Greatest Jagras.
Ah, yes. Greatest Jagras was a fantastic event. Greatest Jagras happened because they went through the data and found out which monster had been hunted the most, and it was Great Jagras. So they created an event quest called Greatest Jagras, where when it threw things up, it would also puke up tons of decorations and like skill pieces that you could just pick up for free. So it was like a like celebration monster. It was a pinata full of diamonds.
Oh my god, I'm looking at the fight. That's so fun. It's just like barfs treats at you.
Yep, tons of treats. So if you're like... And decoration farming is one of the more annoying parts of World. So just to get this monster that would just belch them up to you at, like in great amounts for free was a very fun event.
Oh.
I also like that this is just a little peek. Skill-wise, all the ranks of its armor give you like speed eating or like free meal. It's like, yeah, okay, fair enough.
Yep. Yeah, and I like the iguana-like appearance too. That's something they hadn't done yet.
Yeah, and the weird hair.
But as a tutorial starter monster, I really do think Great Jagras is the greatest of the greats.
Yeah, I think that's the sell for me, is in isolation, I'm like, yeah, it's another big lizard, that's fine. But your point about like needing a big monster to start the game off is really valid.
Here is my concern.
Okay.
I think most of this equipment looks pretty bad.
Oh.
I think the master rank has a little going on because they're leaning into this weird military aesthetic in a way that's kind of fun. But I don't know if one set is enough to save the rest of it, which I think is pretty generic or bad.
Oh.
Now, as far as weapons go, to Great Jagras's credit, that would have been the first time you saw this weapon type that all the others have copied.
True. But I don't feel like it's a particularly good version of them.
Hmm. You're talking about the weapons?
Yeah.
It's not doing it for me.
It's the starter monster. That's all I can say. It's the first monster in the game.
But, like, here's the thing. I feel like I've brought this up before, right? But, like, Alan and I both come... We both played a lot of WoW back when WoW was, you know, before it is what it is now, which is a whole mess. I mean, it was a different kind of mess back then. But, like, we have a lot of affection for, like shitty starter gear looks.
Leveling
armor. You can sell that to us.
Yeah.
It just it has to have a certain... It still has to have an identity. It just doesn't need to look fancy. And I feel like this doesn't convey it to me.
That's fair.
You could roll the dice and I would change my mind in a day.
Well, at least as long as we can agree on the monster itself, I enjoy Great Jagras.
Yeah, we're keeping that, pal. But are we cutting the equipment?
I think so.
Okay.
But just barely.
All right. Well, that brings us to the Jura...
Totus. Yep.
I really had a pause there of like, I feel like I got lost in the middle of that word.
Jura Totus is a muddy lungfish.
Excuse me.
it's a very muddy pal. You always find it swimming around murky water, and it is a lungfish because it can walk on land, then go back to water and swim around.
Oh, it's like a lava sea off, but for mud instead of lava.
Yes.
Lava sea off, whatever.
There was a lot of people who it was also introduced specifically because they wanted a water monster to be next to the Baroth, which is the shovel-headed mud monster.
Sure.
So those two could have their turf war and look cool, and It was not the most fun fight in world. I think it's a fight that has improved quite a bit in Rise, just because of what the hunters can now do. But it is also another fish with legs and a series that is full of fishes with legs. Its main thing was throwing out mud that could slow you down a lot. While it moves very quick, nimbly through water.
Yeah, I feel like I would want this as a... Like, I mean, it feels like it should be a subspecies, right?
In some like, ways, yes.
It's like it's Mud Lava Seoth.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Or it's also very similar to Plesioth. I mean, it's...
True.
Plesioth from Super Mario Brothers. I do like that it's a Colicanth. It's one of my favorite Pokemon, Relicanth. But also, this fight is so fucking annoying in world. It just goes under the water and stays there and then hits you. And you're like, let me get my weapon back up. And then it's already gone again. Like, I fairly recently fought this one and found it very obnoxious.
And it's less annoying in Rise, but that's also because it just acts a little stupider, in my opinion.
And because you have a lot more wire bug attacks and things to mitigate all the things it can do. But it's also very funny, though, that in Rise progression, they saved this monster very late into the game in base Rise, which I didn't understand the decision to do.
I mean, like, it loves to do that, like, spitting mud attack when you are not only already in its face, but to the side of it. And so you're like, okay, I guess I just get a free combo, idiot.
I do like that it kind of has jaws like a snakehead fish.
Sure. That is cool.
Yep.
And there is a terrifying little bit of lore about the Jura Totus, which I read in the biology book.
Okay. What do you got?
And that is that baby Jura Totuses, or juvenile Jura Totuses, tend to enter any orifice they can fit into. You know, whether that's a nostril, an open wound, just any hole they can find, they will enter that, and then they have barbs, which they spike into, and then just devour something from the inside out.
I don't like that.
Yep.
Why didn't you tell me that?
The adults still have a little bit of the barbs, and which is why the book even relayed that information. It's like, oh yeah, the barbs are from their juvenile phase when they did this very horrific thing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they're a deeply unpleasant fish.
As far as I recall, its armor pretty much looks the same in Rise as it does in World.
Yes, it kind of has this, like the male armor, especially the Master Rank, has the gladiator vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, both male and female in Master Rank have the gladiator vibe.
Yeah, I don't hate it. I mean, I could keep the armor but cut the boy.
I'm good with that. Duratotus is fine, but not necessarily special to me in any way.
Let me see that armor one more time. Yeah. Okay. Wait, what does that shoulder armor look like, Six?
It's just like...
cool.
Like, it's pretty... I mean, it is very much like the armor they put on, like, one of the major NPCs when Wrath of the Lich King hit, right?
Yeah.
Big, like, oh, they've got big, curvy bone shoulders.
This person's like, okay, important. Sure. Yeah, this looks like important NPC armor, but I like it. And so does the Beta Plus and the Alpha Plus. Those look great.
Yeah.
I would watch a Sentai series about this squad.
It'd be very gory. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
It'd be one of those dark ones.
You mean all of them?
Goro versus Road.
Oh, okay. Goro, Mark of the Lords.
Right. Two.
Okay, I guess that means we're moving on.
Yes.
Now for a boy that I thought we had forgotten because it's such a fucking classic.
Mm-hmm.
The Kulu Yaku. Giving away how I feel up front, I fucking love the Kulu Yaku.
We agree.
What a fantastic design.
Yes. I completely agree. It has so much personality.
Egg. The Kulu Yaku is a little feathered raptor that loves stealing things. He's the best.
Egg.
Yeah, just a completely goofy monster.
Yeah, so in the middle of fights, he will, like, dig up rocks or, like, pots. He will pick up eggs if they're nearby and try and use them as weapons or shields. He's just really fucking fun and funny.
He's also supposed to teach you about deflection, as far as, like, if you hit something that's too hard for your weapon and it bounces off, because if you hit the rock or the pot and you're not yet sharp enough, it'll just bounce off. So it teaches you about positioning. But the developer said that they introduced Kulu when they did because they felt like World was a little too serious early on, and they wanted you to have fun with a very silly monster, just to see what kind of charm and personality they were capable of.
Success.
Yeah.
Big rules.
I love the kind of goofy, vacant stare it has.
And they do also a really good job in Rise. So if you don't play the games, this may be a thing that you're not aware of, but when they introduce monsters and for the first time in Rise, they give them little, like, mini story sequences to introduce sort of their personality, and often they use the Kulu Yaku doing something stupid and facing the consequences as a way to introduce monsters.
Yes.
Yeah. The Kulu Yaku is just a meme face. I love it. It's very mimetic.
There's also lots of turf wars you might see where Kulu Yaku just gets its shit rocked. Like, it tries, but it is no chance. It is just, you know, a perfect little egg thief. There is also an event in World that was a crossover with Final Fantasy, where Kulu Yaku, instead of finding its other things, could find one of the Final Fantasy crystals. And the crystal made it gigantic.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
So it's good. Just constantly bashing you with a Final Fantasy crystal.
I am sad there aren't variants of the Kulu Yaku. I feel like they deserve that, you know?
Gay rights, Kuliyaku, all rainbow. Something.
I am glad that Kuliyaku, though, was loved enough to come back and rise. And I take that as a sign that maybe one day it will be one of those things where it's like, no, it is much older than it appears. But yeah, I love that you saw this design and said this had to have come from an earlier generation than World.
And I think part of what I hadn't thought about is something you put your finger on, which is, like, it is less serious than a lot of the World designs, mm-hmm. right? It's like, no, this is the one that gives us, like, Odo Geron, the monster with no skin. They're not going to give us this fun boy.
Well, it's funny that the Kuliyaku has not a variant, but, like, a cousin that definitely fits more in with the aesthetic of World, but we're not talking about that guy yet.
Not yet.
I love this guy so much.
Yep,
what a friend. This
is a keep monster for sure.
Can I get a plushie? Kuliyaku.
Oh, absolutely. There is one holding an egg.
Oh my god. Yes! Okay, yeah. All right. Yes. Oh my god, they look so doofy in plushie.
Yeah, I love the various, like, the plushies have various expressions. It's either, like, vacant eyes, like, tired eyes, stressed out eyes.
Look at that! Not even the shape of it anymore.
My neighbor Totoro.
Exactly. Yep.
I do have a concern, however, which is I don't know about this equipment.
Uh-oh.
Yeah,
world refrain.
They really focus on the like desert dwelling aspect of its first appearance for the equipment.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they do. The equipment definitely has a cultural theme.
It looks like the dancer of Final Fantasy XIV's default armor. Okay, actually, the master one is, like, really fucked up. Don't look at the master armor. It's cool,
yeah,
but I also hate it.
This is what I'm saying. It's a little...
Why is it cool and I hate it? That stinks.
I do like that the female armor kind of has, like, a rooster waddle on top.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, it's a look.
It is
I just wish they weren't doing Lawrence of Arabia. It's a little racist.
It's like a squirt. Just like a teensy bit.
But you mentioning the dancer from Final Fantasy XIV makes me do wonder like if that is why they picked Kulu for the collab.
Mm.
Oh. Because that was... Shadowbringers was when that collab happened?
Around that point.
I think so. I did the first Monster Hunter Club. I only remember fighting a Rathalos. I don't remember anything else about it. But it was a long time ago.
Well, in Final Fantasy XIV, they did the Rathalos, and then Monster Hunter did the Behemoth,
right.
Which we talked about in the last episode.
Yes, we did.
But you also got the Kuliyaku, and one of the benefits of beating the event Kuliyaku was getting layered armor to make your cat look like a Moogle.
Wait, that's sick.
That is good.
But yeah,
I feel like I'm a no on the armor.
Okay.
Or the equipment.
It's almost cool.
But a lovely, lovely creature, and we always love to see our little egg thief.
Absolutely. What a friend.
Looking at the crystal fight, and it does in fact try to bash you to death with, like, a really detailed and beautiful Final Fantasy crystal.
The image of it vacantly staring into the glowing crystal is so good.
Agreed.
We got time. You want to do a couple more?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Actually, you know what, Minofsky?
Yes.
Look at the rest. We've been doing it alphabetically. There's no real reason we have to do that. Pick somebody. Who do you want to talk about from World?
You know what? Let's do one that I know that you really enjoy.
Okay.
And also one that we can talk about because we haven't spoken about the new logo for Underscore Mighty.
True.
So let's do the Odo Geron.
Oh, yes, hell yeah.
Yeah, this is one of my faves from World, and also as Minofsky noted, the master rank armor is it's the high rank, not master, is what our site's mascot Scanlan-chan is wearing in our out for this show.
I want to point out too, I was asked to guess what the equipment was, and I did.
Yeah, you did.
So my bona fides are here.
But, yeah, we got the, also we got the, which, it's the fucking Glavinus sword. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Venus.
But yeah, Odigeron, what a cool monster.
Yeah, so this is like a fanged wyvern is the style. So it's like a wolf with a spiky tail, and as mentioned, like appears to not have skin. That's of course not how this actually works, mm-hmm. but
it looks like raw meat.
It looks like raw meat. And you only meet him in like dark caves, and so it's like, oh god. Ugh. Also, sometimes you don't meet him, he meets you, because he will, before the fight, occasionally just crawl along the side of the wall or the ceiling.
Ew.
This is definitely one of those monsters that reminds you that Capcom also develops Resident Evil.
Resident Evil? Yep.
I also, the one of its key traits is dual-layered claws. It has two sets of claws that overlap on top of each other.
Yeah.
Are they for different purposes?
They are specifically just to, like, rip and tear.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah, they are... Yeah, they're supposed to be just... It's also one of the only monsters in the world that can implement bleed.
Yeah. So, yeah. Makes sense. I like that it's not too big.
No.
If you look up a fight of it, that makes it creepier, though. Like, mm-hmm. have either of you seen the film Annihilation?
Yes.
I have not.
You know the monster in the cabin?
Yes.
In that movie? That famous cabin scene? It's kind of got that vibe, but bigger. Mm-hmm. But only slightly bigger.
Another thing that makes Odogeron so creepy is the sound it makes, because it almost sounds like it's in pain. Like, it sounds like a pain dog. It does these, like, whimpers and yipes and just... Especially as it's, like, leaping around and sliding against the rotten veil. Oh, it's so cool.
Oh, God, I just heard a clip of it. It's like... It's like, it does sound really pained, actually. Ugh. What I love about this is, in Monster Hunter, when you fight the same monsters over and over and over again, or you fight the same skeletons over and over, you get into this loop where you start to dehumanize the monsters, and you're mm-hmm. like, okay, these are just tails and attack patterns and movement patterns, and that's all they are. They're no longer things. And you see the Odogeron, and you're like, that is a real thing with, like, flesh... And, like, ecology, and it, like, lives in a place, and it feels much more tactile than just its constituent body parts, which makes it actually a lot scarier.
Yes.
It doesn't feel, even though it is, like, the same shape as some other monsters, it doesn't feel like a normal monster at all. It's creepy.
It's also, like, it's fast and agile, right? Like, it can be really hard to disengage to sharpen or something from this thing. And also, like, there was a point when I first played World where I wanted to farm this thing. And, you know, farming can make you kind of really, like,
yeah,
blasé about a fight. Right. And the first time I went to go fight this guy, and I went to where he was and he wasn't there, and then from the ceiling he just pounced on me and almost killed me. It was like, all right, you know what? Good job, buddy.
The Odogeron is in part based on the Kamaitachi in Japanese mythology, which is basically a weasel with knives for hands. It's fucked up.
Summons like a cutting wind, yeah.
I love that. It does feel like that, but grosser and more fleshy.
It also, the Odogeron does not have eyelids.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah,
Yeah. They did say it has some sort of special lens over its cornea to protect it, but it does not have eyelids. And I think it being in the rotting veil and looking like this raw meat creature really fits the environment. It's a perfect combination of introducing it into the very specific ecosystem it's been placed in.
Mm-hmm. It's a cave dweller, and there is a variant, the Ebony Odogeron from Iceborne, which... Mm-hmm. Can go outside. It's more of an icy. I like the tail on the ebony one. Otherwise, the design's mostly the same. It's just a lot darker, kind of a black purple.
It's look. Got a. It fires out a little dragon energy, and it's a little mm-hmm. aggressive, but it not quite as memorable as the original.
Yes, mm-hmm. agreed. It gets less interesting with its variant.
Also notable, it likes to pick fights with the Devil Joe and get it shit rocked.
Yes, it Me it too. Picks fights with anything. It is just a mad dog.
How are the weapons? We know the armor is an absolute keep. How are the weapons?
Yeah. The weapons are fine.
Not a lot of them, but they're good.
They break out of the most common looks of.
Yep.
Like I like,
charge,
I like
charge
the,
blade
I like
looks
the,
wonderful.
I like the chain sickle dual blades.
Yeah, and I like the light bow gun being like a Tanegashima.
That looks like it's made of meat. Like,
yes.
David Cronenberg's light bow gun.
I love that the dual blades are called Sin and Crime. Sin plus and Crime. Oh, that's
and
the
insect glaive
in
is Vice and Cruelty.
Oh my gosh, that's so good. So good.
It's a very edgy boy.
But yeah, the armor is so good.
And then the light bow gun is called Karma. Sick. And yeah, the armor is a 10 out of 10. There's a reason our homegirl is rocking it. Even the master armor with the hat. Love that.
Yeah.
There's no version of this that I dislike.
I remember the armor for Odageron was so popular. I remember when World was still new. One, I believe it was one of the Sprouse brothers from Sweet Life of Zack and Cody, Riverdale, etc. One of them had like tweeted directly to Monster Hunter asking them if they could get layered armor options to use Odageron armor for other builds.
Whoa.
Fun fact about the version on our album art. Obviously, it's Odageron Alpha, right?
Mm-hmm.
Female version. And I was like, hey, cut the ears. I think the ears look a little goofy. and the artist was like, yeah, the only sad thing about this is I'd really love to give her abs. And I was like, then make an ab window. And they're like, sick.
Easy.
Yeah, the Monster Hunter team would never tell you not to make a window for abs or thighs. So, like, if you don't see the option, create it.
Exactly.
I do really love the mouth mask on the female armor, though. It reminds me quite a bit of Taki from Soul Calibur.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, yep. Fuck, I miss Soul
Calibur. Soul Calibur, of course, also a Capcom franchise.
Yeah, they have a style.
It's not. I'm kidding.
It's Bamco. Oh.
Damn you.
I also like the dog toe shoes that they all have. Very odd.
Oh my gosh, I didn't even see that.
Oh, huh. Yeah.
Yep, they're two layers.
They all got the claws. Yeah,
I found the Dylan's
cool.
Sprouse tweet, by the way. Hey, Capcom, I think there's potential here for Monster Hunter. Hear me out. Allow players to use mats to make layered armors for monster sets. I'm using armor for stats, but I want to look like I'm wearing Odageron. I should be able to. The assets already exist. True, Dylan Sprouse, thank you.
That's
thank
it.
You for that one.
Yeah, look at the reach that World has.
And they said, make Monster Hunter more accessible and it'll get boring. Joke's on you, nerds.
Yeah, Odageron, though, I think one of the most memorable designs from World.
Yeah, I don't really have much bad to say. I'm obviously a yes and a keep and a high five and thumbs up.
Yep.
Just a great pal.
There are some monsters that I can type in their name and then fan art into Google and get just like, most monsters, honestly, but certain ones especially, I'm going to get like incredible work. And the Odageron delivers. Absolutely. A lot of people love the armor. You're right. It's like such a popular armor. Ooh. Guys, check this art out. Hold on. Boom.
Shit. That's perfect.
Ugh. Yeah. Cosme Lucero Odageron fan art, in case people are curious.
They do a lot of good Twitter fan art of Monster Hunter to this day.
Oh, nice. There you go.
Yeah, I like how much that looks like they're really in their picture. They're really selling the rotten veil aspect of it, just kind of moving through all the rotten stench and decay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just
the eyes
and again,
don't even show up.
Yeah. And I really wanted to bring this one up to, I guess, as probably our closing monster for the day, just because I think it represents what World did especially well, which is putting a lot of focus on how monsters relate to their specific maps. And I don't think you get this design without the Rotten Veil.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Also, just a little scene thing, but if you ever accidentally throw raw meat around the Odageron and it eats it, it does gain an extra enraged state. When the developers was really insistent on that, and when they were asked why, they said, it just does, don't worry about it. Like, that's just something they wanted it to have, and they went, okay, so they just made it happen. But not a lot of people throw raw meat in front of it, so you're probably not going to see it in practice. But it can.
Well, if there's a Legiana corpse nearby as well, apparently, it will also do this.
There you go.
So just, you know, if you're hunting both of them in one quest, which I'm sure if this interaction exists, there must be a quest where you have to hunt both of them because they want you to fall into this trap.
Exactly. So. Yeah, some way or another, they're like, we did this work. You have to see it. But I think that's a really good one to end today's episode on.
Absolutely. Yeah, just a friend.
A big bleedy friend. Lad. Don't hug him. He doesn't have skin. But
oh, I love this. I love this art just real quick. Just one more thing to note on, which is concept art of how the claws work. Where it can fold the secondary claws up.
Whoa.
Yes.
Whoa. Yeah, they're foldable, retractable.
And you will see that on the model too, because when it's like when it's especially angry, you'll see the claws rise up. And that's going to inflict a lot more damage.
Again, Monster Hunter team, you don't have to make new skeletons all the time. I like it when you do, but sometimes you just add a little treat. Mm-hmm. Like these weird claws, and there you go, you've made a whole entire new friend. Wow.
Also, here's a Devil Joe looking a lot like a hippo.
we do love to see it.
We love it.
I was not on the episode with Pickle, but big fan of the Devil Joe. Or Evil Joe, as it's known in Japan.
It feels like editorializing to me. All right, well, I guess that's it for this episode. Manofsky, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter at ManofskyArticle, and you can find me on further episodes of this show as we adventure deeper into the world of World, Iceborne, Rise, and Sunbreak.
Yeah, we've actually still, despite the fact that we are in our last generation for now, probably for a while, there's still a fucking lot to do.
Yes. And probably more before Sunbreak is over than we realize.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
we can mention Sunbreak has come out since the last episode. We're all playing it. Manofsky's played a lot of it. Six and I have played some of it. It's good.
Oh, I guess this is also where we can say, because of the return of Espinas, Frontier monsters are now back on the table for returning. Uh-oh. Which means that we have opened the Pandora's box, and we're probably going to have to talk about Frontier Designs, which is a world I know nothing about because I never got to play that game.
We're just going to get ambushed by some stuff.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, Alan, where can people find you?
You can find me.
I almost called you Dallin.
Ooh.
It's not.
That's a fusion of me and
Dylan.
Who you can hear on our last episode.
Yeah. Oh my god, it's been so long. God, I missed this so much. Hey guys, I'm on another podcast. It's called Chats, a television podcast. It's like a TV book club. We watch two episodes of a TV show every week and talk about it. Join in, huh? We're watching The Leftovers. We're about to start season 3 in a few weeks. It's one of my favorite shows of all time. You can catch up. You can listen to old seasons. We got a whole backlog. And you can also support our work at patreon.com/chatspod, chatzpod. And I'm not on social media because, well, frankly, fuck that. Thoughts?
All right. Well, I mean, my thoughts are I'm about to say that I am on social media. Good. So, you know. Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at @6detmar. Part of the reason I'm on there is because my DMs are open. Anyone is allowed to DM me. Doesn't mean I won't block you if you're a fucking shithead, but I suspect you won't be if you're listening to this.
Yeah.
The people who tend to be shitheads tend to not be listeners. It's just a weird, weird coincidence there. Yeah, so I'm there. You can also find my work at scanlinemedia.com or patreon.com/scanlinemedia if you want to support all the work that I do, which is a lot of work. But friends and folks, until next time, quest complete.